sì, le potremmo dare una precisione che la offre di Minecraft.
something really, really stupid. For many of you, you're going to have to take longer than a couple of years because you haven't done anything stupid in quite a while. But just go back. Just imagine that it wasn't just something that was stupid. It was something that was illegal. I mean, really, really against the law. Right? Something that if you were caught, you could die. There would be a death penalty for it. Right? Capital punishment might be on the table, that kind of thing. I mean, just imagine that, and imagine that after you did whatever it was that you did, you just ran, you left. You were gone. You went to a big city, and you met a guy. Right? And this guy, let's say he led you to Christ. You know, you how you got connected to him is really even hard for you to tell, but you just kind of, you seem to line up with this guy, and he led you to Christ, and you began to receive the forgiveness of Jesus. You began to get this connection with him that you never had before. And you told the guy about what you've been before, and he said, well, okay, well, you know, Jesus forgives you. Yeah, we may have to address that later, but let's, you know, let's go. And let's say that over the next few weeks, maybe months, maybe even a couple of years, you just become, you begin to help this guy with the ministry that he's doing. You just start helping him. And you're not anymore. You become this new person. You know, whereas before, maybe you had been defined by some of the things that you had done. That kind of thing. You stopped breaking major laws. You know, and then wider ones too. You started to become someone that was important or that was valuable. You started to become a new person. And one day, you're hanging out with the guy that led you to the Lord in the first place. And he says, here's the thing. I've been sensing something from God for a while, and you need to go back. And you need to face this thing again. You need to just picture what you would say. Again, what you have done is not just a little illegal. You can be killed. You don't know that you will, but you certainly don't know that you won't. And you know your odds are much better if you don't go back there and say, it's me, remember? Yeah, you know that. And so there's probably a little bit of an interaction that goes on. You want me to come back, or are you out of your mind? It's what you need to do. It's time to face this thing. You're like, well, they can kill me. They can do. They can beat me. They can imprison me. They can do anything like that. And then he goes, well, I'm going to send a letter. In fact, if they go, the letter? Thank you for the letter that you're going to send. It's somehow going to protect me. He's like, well, I know the guy that you're wrong. I'm going to send this with you. But it's time to go back. See, that's the situation that Onesimus was in. You know, if there's this little tiny letter in the New Testament, just after 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, it's called Philemon. Right? I mean, it's like 25 verses long. There's nothing to it. You know, in fact, for some of you, if you, you're away from home, and maybe those of you who grew up in church, your parents are worried that you're not, just gonna stop following God when you get here and go crazy. You can call them today and say, you know what, I would move, Mom, today to not just memorize a chapter. Nay, use the word nay. I absolutely, parents love that. I mean, it's just, I'm a parent. You know, I speak to them. Listen, I say, nay, I'm not going to just memorize a chapter. I'm going to memorize the whole book of the Bible. Because that's how committed I am. I'm going to have to tell you that the book's only one chapter. I mean, we don't have to mention those details. But you know, it's a super short letter. And it's kind of been confusing to me why the thing is in there. You know, I'm intrigued in my following of Jesus with the things that make following Jesus confusing. You know, I wrote a book called Should We Fire God? And I don't think we should. But you know, it's about kind of how suffering and following God kind of lines up, how we're supposed to be in charge. And yet we see things in life that make us think, all that kind of interaction is something that's very interesting. And the other kind of difficult questions, I think they're just used to describe what it means someone to the Lord, and then they become very close afterwards. They have a very much a father to a son relationship. He's my only son. Yeah. to a son. I cannot imagine. I have two sons. Noah is 14 and Zeph is 12. I can't imagine sending one of my sons. I can't imagine sending Emma, who's 11, into any type of dangerous situation like that. And that's how Paul felt. And yet he did. He said, you know what? God has said this is right. So you need to go. You need to do it. Part of the reason that Paul can do it is he has a very different understanding of the way words work. You know, Paul had been a Pharisee. He had been a part of the rabbinic school of Israel, where you went, when you went to follow someone, you literally followed them. If they went over there, you went over there. I mean, that's what he did. Jesus, when he was very calling the disciples, he didn't say, hey, you guys in? You in? You good? Okay, in 2 weeks, meet under this tree, and I'll give you some notes, and maybe you can grab stuff online. I mean, he wasn't doing that. And that service was fine in Palestine at the time. That was part of the reason. But the other reason was because it was understood when you followed, you followed, you went well. Every part of your life was on the table. We have a very kind of disconnected view of how we learn, how we follow God. And I'll follow you, God, as long as we don't deal with this. This is kind of off the table. We're not dealing with it. Or I'll find that as long as I can do it on my terms. We kind of have a better way to turn this down. You know, when we imagine learning from someone, following them, we imagine kind of sitting in something like this, and there's someone up here like me, and they've got a microphone like this, and they're talking to us. Kind of what it is. That's not the view they have. Everything was on the table. And so when Paul says from God, it was time for Onesimus to go back. Because that's what you're going to have to do. I love you. I'll write a letter that makes it very clear in my thoughts. But the Spirit of God is going to go with you. You need to get a letter of yours up. You know, the impression that Paul knew what was going to happen. He couldn't go with him because he was in jail and stuff. So there, all this stuff was kind of going on. So, and it's amazing that Paul would ask. But because it was so understood that everything was on the table, like, well, this is in the past. You got it down. Well, sometimes the difficult things that we've done, the wrong things that we've done, sometimes God says, you're forgiven, it's done, you're fine. Other times it says, no. And this one, you need to deal with it. That's what happens. Then we begin to see what Onesimus did. He goes back with this letter. And we don't know exactly what happened right after. But there's actually biblical evidence that a few things did happen. Right? One of the things that it seems like happened is Philemon didn't just release Onesimus. He was fall asleep. Just, I was like, oh, this is wrong. Okay. It was something. Having slaves was such a common thing, you almost didn't even consider it. They had done it for hundreds of years, and everybody had done it for hundreds of years. So it seems like he released all of them. And one of the other things that it seemed like happened was Onesimus eventually became one of the leaders of the church in Ephesus. And the church in Ephesus was the most important influential church for 400 years. Paul just did it by saying that. If he's cost you anything, if he's wrong with you in any way, charge it to me. The reason Paul can do that is because he was very aware that Jesus had said the same thing on his behalf to the Father, to God. Jesus was the greatest hanging on the cross. He didn't physically say these words, but what he was doing, the same Father. If they've done anything, if it cost you anything, charge it to me right now. The scripture is very clear that God unleashed every penalty that we had earned up to that point and that we will ever earn on Jesus. On God the Son, Jesus. He unleashed it all. And Jesus died with that weight on him. And only one of two things could occur at that point. Either sin and death would be too heavy and the weight of Jesus would stay dead. Or the power of God will be too much for it, and Jesus would charge it to me. You know, there's a couple of things that probably would have never happened had he not done this. You know, we don't know. We know that Paul didn't know what was going to happen when this happened. It wasn't just that, okay, well, I don't understand everything. Sometimes we have to use people in the Bible. We're just like, yes, Lord, I understand. And we kind of put her right off the ground and nothing really bothers. And these were normal men and women. And they were frustrated at times. They were confused and scared at times. But they were just trying to follow the voice of God as they heard it. Trying to be obedient. You know what I love about the scriptures is you see it when they do well and they don't. There's no spinning in the scriptures. There's no just putting the good face. You see people mess up all the time. You see Paul mess up all the time. One thing we know, is that had Paul not been willing to call Onesimus on it and say, you need to go back, the strong likelihood is that Onesimus never would. And had Onesimus never gone back to face this, to face the fear and deal with the hell, if he became a leader in the church of Ephesus, we know for a fact that that never would have happened. Onesimus would have been stuck as an escaped slave for the rest of his life. There was freedom that was on the other side of a terrifying walk back to the owner that you left. If Onesimus was willing to make that walk, he did. And that's when he became free. You see, you and I are like that. You know, there are times in our lives that there are things that we just don't want to deal with. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, I lied all the time. All the time. One of the people I lied the most to was my dad. And I came to tag him, you know, like I was kind of a bit of a screw up growing up. I really wasn't the guy that you say he's going to be successful in life. I, you know, it was kind of like, not sure how that's just going to work out for you. And I accepted Christ. And then things didn't get perfect for me. I still stumbled and struggled with my mom, but I started to mature. I started to be able to understand what it was like to hear his voice and just obey what I heard him say. And I started to get my life together a little bit. And I stopped being someone that people knew lied all the time. And I stopped having to deal with all the wreckage that created. And I started being someone that could be respected a little bit. And, you know, that when all that happened, I was at school. You know, my dad didn't really ever see that. I was just gone. I didn't lie because I was absent, you know. But it wasn't that I had stopped. And then for my graduation from Tech, I got this old, he gave me this old Mercedes. It was old. It was a Mercedes 240D. It was loud, big, no AC, vinyl seats. The thing was an oven. But I loved it. And I don't remember how long I had it before. I didn't change the oil, and I let the oil burn out, and the oil pan went dry, and I blew the engine. And, I called my dad to tell him, and I lied. I said, I don't know what happened. It just broke. You know, I had a mask. It took me about a second to see through that. But I lied. I hadn't lied about something in a long time. And suddenly, I'm like lying to him. And then, you know, I was like, oh, gosh, I can't believe this guy. He's giving. Yes, I'm giving. And then there was a time, a number of months later, where I felt like, you know, there were people that I was walking with God with. And you know, I had a walk, and I started to be like, you know what, I need to go and be honest about this. I was like, I said, no, it's not him. I'm dead. Come on, baby, is there a dollar? I'll lie tomorrow. And then I'll go, and I'll say, I shouldn't have lied. You know, I'll do that God for you. So let me in. You know, it wasn't like that. That person, that lie. So eventually I did. I don't remember Tracy, we were married at the time that we were close. She came with me. She knew that. And I told her I was going to get you. So I said, yeah, can we meet? And so we met. And I told It wasn't some sort of magic moment where he said, "Son, your son is no longer dead." That was exactly what I had time for. So, but you know, it was like that. It wasn't that moment. It was kind of uncomfortable. You know, I was like, okay, well, about guarantees. Will you tell us this? God. Give us your strength.